I wonder why they did that. And amazing. I have 7 Bibles in which I do some work in each one of them. In this one, I have my morning service. When I go through a scripture, I retranslate the text and I write between the lines the Hebrew text. And so then you hear me speaking a little bit different sometimes in the text, but I'm reading the Hebrew. And I lost this, so I left it outside. So my friend Mike Cormack played a trick. I called him. He said, "Where's my Bible?" I said, "Oh, until you get my book back, I don't give you a Bible." So I had to teach tonight. He says, "Inside the box." I borrowed a book from him, and for 6 months, I don't give it back. So he paid me back. I was scared. It takes a lot of work and a lot of detail to write between, and I'm writing whatever it is. Well, let's pray together. Father, we come to you again on this evening as we close the day with another Bible study, the closing Bible study on Revelation chapter 5, the praises of God. And as we review Revelation 5 and learn one more step, we have a complete picture in how to praise you and why and who you are. And sometimes life is not easy on us, and we have a heavy laden upon us. And rather than looking upon ourselves, help us to look upon you, Lord, and help all of us to look upon Revelation chapter 5 from time to time and to say with deep conviction in our heart, how great is our Savior, how great is our hope. And then encourage ourselves that even though in this world things are tough and different, how gracious you are in giving us a picture of the glorious Jesus. Bless us tonight as we review it again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I encourage you to open your Bible in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, and to look on Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Just before we get to the end of Revelation 5, we go through the verses together, reminding ourselves what this chapter is all about. The key thought of Revelation chapter 5, you find it in verses 5 and in verse 6. The Bible says, "And one of the elders said unto me," to me is John, as you know, the author and writer, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." And remember that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is a name for Jesus. Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 Spirit of God sent forth in all the earth." And so Revelation chapter 5 is talking about no longer about the throne of God, which is Revelation 4, but now is to the one in the throne, to the one approaching the throne, to the one in control of that throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are 4 compelling reasons why we Christians worship the Lord Jesus. And we need to understand this. We worship the Lord Jesus because of these vital reasons revealed in Revelation chapter 5. Number one reason, because of who he is. Class, do you remember who he is? Jesus is God. He passed. Got 100. All right. Jesus is God. And if you have no idea, there is a paper there for you in your hands that you can search out or ask for the tape about it. Then number 2, because of where he is. Where is Jesus? Careful, careful. Where is Jesus? Careful, careful. Look at verse 7. Verse 6, where is Jesus? "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne." Where is Jesus? Yes, sir?
He's on the throne at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, but where? There is a key word, a noun. In the proper common translation will be center. So Jesus is the half of our life, remember? Jesus is a half of God in heaven and should be the half of our life. Of course, it's not the half in America, right? We don't see the government endorsing Christianity at all. And so therefore, if the president even pray, they question the ability for doing that. So where is Jesus? We worship him for what he is. He is the half of our life. And because what he does, verses 7 to 10. Remember that? The reason, what is Jesus doing? And what he is, he's at the right hand of God, as our brother said, and he is making a bridge between you and God. Now, Jesus is our high priest. And you know, the priests pray on behalf of the people. And the Bible never changed. So for you and me to pray, we need a high priest to bring the prayers to God. Because in God's system, in the Old Testament, they pray once a year, and the prayer of the people were taken in a bowl of incense into the Holy of Holies by the high priest. And if the high priest was not healthy and clean, what happened? He died. Now, why Jesus never died then? He's there bringing our prayers constantly. Why? He is a true high priest. Thank you, Russ. He's starting the lesson. All right. That's good. That's fantastic. All right. Because of what he does, he brings our prayer. Now, remember that. We don't pray in Joseph or in Mary, even though Joseph was a great man and Mary was a holy woman. We are no questioning that. They are no intercessors. Our intercessor is the Lord Jesus. And then because of what he does. He's doing the intercession, and now tonight we're going to see because of what he has. All right, now we're going to see now so far what we study. I did this double. We worship Jesus because he is God. Here's the answers. We worship Jesus Christ because he is the half of our life existence and should post to be and should be, and no one of us deny it. It's a hard time to do it because we are humans. Don't feel defeated. We are humans. We're humans. And as humans, we have all faults and we all struggle. Is that right? What do we struggle for as Christians? To be like him. That's it. And we worship Christ because he's the bridge between God and mankind. Now we go to our lesson tonight, which involves verses 11, 12, and 13, and 14. Reason number four why we worship Christ. We worship Christ because of what he has. Number one, and let's look on verse 11, 12, and 13. He has universal worship. Let's read it. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now we can calculate 10 elevated to 10. Those who know math, 10 elevated to 10, that's 10 billion. But we cannot calculate thousand because there is no number. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I read it again. Look at why we worship Jesus. Jesus had universal worship, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, this is not the first time that the Bible mentioned this. Will you put one hand here and let's go together, as I said in the screen and in the paper that is in your hand, in the Gospel of Luke, please, on chapter 2. Again, there are two Gospels who relate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of them is the Gospel of Luke. The other is Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, and let's look on verse 13 and verse 14 of Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Bible said, at the appearance of Jesus as a baby, the Bible said, and suddenly there was within the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. What is a heavenly host, class? Angels. Thank you. Angels. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. As you see, what happened here is this. Jesus has universal worship, not only then, later in heaven, but when he was born. When he was born, the angels of heaven did that. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews, then, in chapter 1 in Hebrews, and in verse 6, just to take a good look about the universal worship of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And now, when Jesus is coming again, he is not coming again as a baby at the mercy of man. I want you to look with me to Matthew's gospel, the end of Matthew's gospel, in chapter 25 and in verse 31. Matthew's gospel, chapter 25 and verse 31. Look at what the Bible said. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And so Jesus is not at the mercy of a commentator, at the mercy of a newspaper writer who disagree with the Bible or whatever. Jesus have the universal worship before. He have it now, and he will have it as he's coming. And so we are not depending on humanity for the worship of Christ. From heaven, the glory of Christ will be expressed. Then, not only Jesus has a universal worship established, but also a universal approval in verse 14. Going back to Revelation chapter 5, on the very last verse, on verse 14, the Bible said, and the four beasts, or the four creatures, really should be the word, said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down. Remember, the representatives of the Old Testament church and the representatives of the New Testament church, they fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. Now, I'm going to make the emphasis on what the creatures said. Creatures means the whole creation. That's the original word used over there. And the whole creation said, Amen. Now, Amen, the best way I looked on it, the Western Dictionary came out with this word, so be it. The British Dictionary translate the word Amen, which is not an English word, it's a Hebrew word, let it be. But so be it, I think, is good. Let's look at two passages in which this word is used. One, when Jesus, in Matthew 28, when Jesus really is going into the presence of God again, and he's leaving this earth, and he's given the last instructions to his disciples. And let's look on it. On the very last verse of Matthew, and the Bible, you know, the classic statement of going and preaching the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whosoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What is the last word? Amen. So be it. I mean, you can't change it. It's sealed. So be it. All right? And if you go to the last book of the Bible again, and on Revelation 22, the last chapter, and then on the last thought of this last book of the Bible, you will see this so clearly expressed. Revelation 22, and verse 20. After the whole book is done, and after the history and the things that will happen to mankind is described, John write this word, "He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly." In other words, he said, Jesus, who gave the message to John, says, "Surely I come quickly." And then what he says, "Amen, Jesus, so let it be." And then John added, look at, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." In other words, I wish you are here. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, so be it." Again, amen. And so it is a universal approval of what Jesus is doing. Again, the approval is not depending on what the media will say, yes or not. The approval is not on any government of this earth. The approval is on the hands of the Lord Jesus. Now, I have done this for years. In every chapter of the Bible, after studying the Bible for more than 25 years in the radio and doing the broadcast in Spanish, I have found the key thought, what looks to me the key thought in every chapter, and found a verse that describes that chapter. So now I have the verse for you here, but the describe chapter 5. But if you have a chance to do that, praise God for all corners, what he is, what he does. Praise God for what he doing every day for the glory. What verse of the Bible will come to your mind? Now, I show you the one that came to my mind in the scripture I describe on the screen right now is 1 Timothy 3:16. Look at how beautiful the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 3:16 makes a summary of what this really chapter is all about, Jesus and his glory. There is no argument like theologians do about this chapter. No argument whatsoever. You read it, you believe it, and you follow through. And now look at what the chapter said. "And without controversy," said 1 Timothy 3:16, "great is the mystery of godliness." All right? Then he described it. Look at the steps. God was manifested in the flesh. I remember 3 years ago, I preached for 4 Sundays on these verses. I preached on every thought of these. God was manifested in the flesh. What is it talking about? God was manifested in the flesh. Means? Jesus was? Born first time. First time, all right? Justified in the Spirit. You remember the day that he was justified in the Spirit? Matthew chapter 3. "This is my son in whom I..." "This is my beloved son." "Kiss my..." "This is my beloved son." Agapetesoi in Greek. "In which I am well pleased." How many times in the Bible those words? "This is my beloved son." Well, in each one of the Gospels and in Peter. 4 times in the Bible. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels. Remember when is this? We read it tonight. Luke chapter 2, when he was born, the angels saw him preach among the Gentiles. What time is that? Now. Right now. Preach among the Gentiles. Believing on in the world. Right now. Receive up in glory. Past tense. All right? That's Revelation chapter 5. You can put between parentheses that verse on the top of the chapter. Revelation chapter 5 is about the glorious Jesus and all his expressions and all his thoughts and everything he has done. And purposely, I have taken small pieces of the scripture to break it up for you and for me so that we look in this so-called difficult book of Revelation and see that there is no secret. Now, if I tell you this is a secret and it's very, very secretive and you have to compare here and there, I'm just inventing. There is nothing secret about this. Now, there will be things as we advance in Revelation that will be mysterious to us. until God will, but we can get a very close appreciation of what God is saying. So Revelation 4 is about the throne of God. God has established this. Revelation 5 is like this. No more talking about salvation and all of this. Let's glorify the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done. Now, theologians like to argue about how you get saved and who you are and all of this. It's good to ask people. When I visit people that come to church, my first visit in their homes is this. Will you tell me how the Lord found you or how you found the Lord? And it's good because in that way I get to know how they were saved. But then that's the last time I talk after I receive their testimony. Now look, in the book of Hebrews, here is a passage in chapter 6 that really tell us something important. Revelation 5 is given to you and to me as a church body. It's given me this. Revelation 5 is given me the thought that for me, the business of arguing about salvation is gone. Now, my business is to find glory in the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Now, look at Hebrews 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go all unto perfection. What do you think he's saying? People argue with that. Pretty simple. What do you think he's saying? Brother Ken, what do you think he's saying? Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, means the doctrine of salvation, let's go on unto perfection. What is it? Brother Russ? Yeah. That's simple. In other words, are we going to argue about if Christ saved you 2 seconds before you say this or 5 seconds? Come on. Are you saved? Okay. Done. Now, going to perfection is what we talked this morning, trying to get in a life closer as we can to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're never going to get it, what? Perfect or equal to Christ. Never. And if somebody tell me that, I tell you right now, you're a liar. Because you can be perfect at the Lord Jesus Christ. There are ways, there is something in our old nature that breaks that beautiful thing. But that doesn't mean that we should not struggle to. Some people take the liberty, say, oh, I cannot be perfect, so I live in the way I want to. I wonder their Christianity, if they say that. We need to have, see, you don't let your children do what you want. If you do that, you're a bad father and mother. If you let your children do what they want in their home, see? So you why do you correct your children? All right? Pardon me? You love them. Or what else, brother? You're getting a big family now, you know? They get into 4, and you're going to be 5, 6. Okay, tell me. All right, Brother Joby, why do you correct your children? I saw you correcting your children. Why do you do that? That's right. That's right. The book of Proverbs said that we are like a post around them. So the book of Proverbs said you tie them up to you. So what a responsibility we got, don't we? Because they are watching me. You know, I grew up in a home where my uncle died at 49 because he smoked too much. And at that time, emphysema was not in 1951. There was not in South America anything you can cure. But he sent me, 12 years old guy, to the store to buy the cigarette away from the family than what he knew. See, I remember I grew up with my uncles, and so I bought the cigarette for him. But you know, I never had desire to smoke. My father used to smoke Toscanos, you know what it is, the Habana, and then pipe. And boy, I hate the smell. What a protection, don't it? But I was used, so they cannot teach me to not smoke because they're smoking. But thank God that by his grace, I never get attached to that thing. So I want to tell you this, Revelation 5, and I close with this today, is a very simple lesson, a small lesson, but I broke the chapter in pieces, so it becomes very important to you. When you are down in your life, when everything goes back to a struggle, please sit down calm, read Revelation 5, enjoy who the Lord Jesus is, enjoy what the Lord Jesus does, and enjoy how great He is, so it's yours. It's yours. And leave it there. You don't going to change circumstances. You're not going to change tomorrow. But boy, tomorrow cannot change you. That's what I thought to myself. I cannot change tomorrow, but tomorrow will not change me. There is a realtor in the area by Three City Realty. He's a little crazy, but I just love him. He comes every Tuesday morning. First time he drives in with a new developer in the area. You know, I think he's hungry for the money. That's what it is. And he comes and says, Pastor, here's a pastor. He knows everything. He said, oh, Pastor, tell us what's going to happen here. Oh, it's going to be a castle built. I told last week. Now, this week, I don't know what I want to say. But they're crazy. He said, well, you know, he said, they're going to move the church. Oh, good. I go with the church. I'm attached to the church. I'm an attachment to the church. Really? Oh, yeah. That's the law. I'm an attachment. You know, I give them a hard time. I think they're trying to give me a hard time. But, you know, I know this so far, that we were in a bank room. This is where we were. Were you there, Russ, in the bank? Yeah, we were in the bank room. What is it?
I was in every room.
In every room. Yeah. Remember when I had a Sunday school? I had a Sunday school one time with the kids. They don't let me more because Russell opened the door and the toys were flying in. I was playing with the kids. Well, the day came that the nice guy, I forgot the name of the manager, Pelota, he said, you know, I need a room. So Russ started emptying, remember your special room that he has in his home for tools and for things like that? Jack has a rental place that he started talking to the people, maybe we need a rental place in here and so on. And we don't know what to do. 3 weeks on the road. 3 weeks. I said, what are we going to do? You think I worry? I just preach. 2 weeks before the event, Raquel calls and said, there is a sign in this property who was nothing like this. This is the hand of Russell, Lyndon, many here, and many money that have been given to improve the property. And she said, there is a sign. Tell the man we're going to buy it. She said, no, this is the phone number. I called the realtor. He arrived to the office and said, come back. We bring the check for you. How much you want? Oh, $225. All right, come in. We have the check. And I called Brother Casada in Pacific Grove. And I said, bring the check, $225,000. We got the place. He said, you sure give it? I got the place. Don't worry about it. Talk to Jack. He called Jack to be sure he's going to get his money back. And we got it. He bring the check. We pay the man in that door. I pay the man. 10 minutes after came Bursman, the Dr. Bursman, with a check of $400,000 to buy the property. But we already signed, and the check already left and went into escrow. When that went into the property ears, then they said, we do not, they called me. The Northern Baptist Convention said, I'm very sorry. We love you buying the church because we have a mortgage of $145,000 there. He said, but they're going to sell it to somebody else. I said, oh, sorry, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. And we all signed a paper. I feel sorry for the lady. It's going to go to jail. You do not deny to a church after you sign a contract. That is a violation of the law. So we call, I call, Jack, do you came, Russ, to, when we went to see the lawyer? I got Family Radio's land lawyer. We had 7 lawyers, one specializing in land. And we went to the lawyer. The lawyer picked up the phone and said, lady, I sent a sheriff today if you don't deliver that key. The lawyer said, you buy the insurance. So we bought the insurance, everything. So she put the lawyer, and the lawyer said, you don't want to go to jail. You had to sell the house because it was an escrow. It was paying total. And we got the church. Russell and I think it moved in a little trailer, the piano that was here. On Saturday, Linda and everybody and the fix and everybody working here, everything was red, yellow. These are black brethren have a different idea of colors. And it was a handrail here, and Russ taking the handrail out. Remember Russ and all this? I mean, it was a workout the whole night. And the next morning, we had the antique pews that were when I... Columbus came to America, there were those pews over there. And I tell you, in the last four or five more years, more or 10 more years more, until Romulo told us about the Navy is going to throw away these pews for the garbage, and we got it. Now, you think in a pastor that goes through all of that will have a question about where we go tomorrow? No, you maybe have a question, but I don't. You say, where we go? I don't know, but we go someplace. Or maybe we stay here. This is my Christ, Revelation chapter 5. Simple as it is. Then the Lord put me in radio for 29 years. As an engineer, I told the president of the radio, what is your plan? Jesus, he said. I said, it must be no good today. So I asked tomorrow. So the next day we were traveling. He said, what is your plan for the next year? Jesus, he said again. And for 5 years asking him, what's your plan for the next year? Jesus. At that time, the president has a good mind. And then the key is this. He taught me a lesson. There is a wall over there of people hungry for a number on the dial. They will pay $2 or $3 million. The Lord will make a way for family radio. The Mormons, we were in Florida. We turned the radio. Here's the Mormons. And this channel, we call the FCC. And they say, yes, we give to every educational people a free channel. Oh, he said, look to me and said, you and Raquel, you both have diplomas. Go to Sacramento, file for a petition to make in a school. 4 years later, in 86, we made the school. And our family radio has 156 stations with zero payment. Zero payment. And they are selling stations for $15 million, $25 million, $30 million. If they sell you New York, a station will be $500 million. Zero. Now, the Lord is the best engineer. People may tell the Lord is the best engineer. This Lord of Revelation 5, this is not theology to me. This is a reality. So, your home will be gorgeous and stable as long as you make this Christ the half of your home. This church is going to be stable here or on the other side of the freeway or in the middle of the city, I don't know, someplace. If we make Christ the half, I will never preach money to get your money to do this or to do the other. No. I said, Lord, if we move, you're going to give us the place. This week is $10 million the place. If they want to buy it, it's $10 million. Next week will be $15. You never know what's going to happen. But a miracle already happened. The city hall said, whatever those people said, do it. Now, when the mayor of the city, I hope the people buy it before he is out. He has 3 more years to be. I tell you, it's just a blessing. Revelation 5 is a blessing. Not when we study theologically, but when we make revelation into our life. I walk with my daughter in San Jose Airport. She handled that letter that I had it in a little box. And she said, take care of my daughters. You'll never see me again. And I had to walk with her to her mother and don't say a word. She said, don't say a word. And we hugged each other. And I was broken in pieces for 1 year here in the church. I never told you. But I knew the Lord will have maybe a different plan. I don't know what plan the Lord had. I accepted. The Lord was pleased to heal her and to stabilize her. So this is the kind of Lord that we have. Those people, don't worry about property. Though it's a little inconvenience now, I know. Ladies, I know it's a little inconvenience. But listen, we'll be more inconvenience if we don't have anything. All right? So that is gone. Let's worry about being faithful. Let's worry about worshiping him. Let's worry about being active to invite others to hear. There is a fruit from my coffee shop. It's Leo and his wife. He said, Pastor, he said to me this morning, I want every one of my grandchildren don't go through hell like I did. I want them to know the Lord. And he brought a baby. That baby, his father died in a car accident. The baby was born 2 days after the father died. I went into their homes when they had the accident. I tell you something. It is a powerful thing to fall into the hands of a powerful God. And so let us this year leave Revelation 5 in our life and see the glory of God expanded. Not in gorgeous cathedrals, but in your heart and in my heart. That the miseries of this world, that God has designed in our way so that we go through them, will not harm us, but rather making us more sharp for him. To him be the glory. Amen. Father, thank you that in the hassles of life, we look down. Thank you, Father, that as we studied this morning in the Sunday school lesson, the key verse was verse 1. He loved us to the end. And even though Peter denied him 3 times, even though Peter knew that he will deny the Lord will not change his mind on him. He will love him to the end. Lord, he washed the feet of the disciples, showing him the robe of righteousness in verse 2 and the work of righteousness in verse 3. Thank you, Father, that the same Jesus is doing the same thing for us. The world that we live put us down. Oh God, help us to look up. Some of our men here are under struggle and going through difficulty. But God bless them with a stability of mind so that it will be a day, a glorious day, when everything will be in the past and your glory and your peace will be in their hand. Thank you for the church. We have a building. It's not enough for every detail we want to, but we have a building. There's no ringing inside, Lord. Thank you. A building is paid. Thank you, Lord. The property is fantastic. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are marvelous. We are a handful of people and they're paying full time the pastor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for who you are, a mighty God. Amen. All right. I got too excited.